This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I met him a couple of times.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Whose tickets did they buy? Were there 2,000 just unbought? So did they go on the secondary ticket market? Or were there really like 2,000 seats available for game six?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Knicks win the series at six, and the Knicks are advancing to round number two.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NBA analyst Jim Jackson. Coming up, Bucks linebacker Lavonte David, actor and comedian Jim Gaffigan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Yeah, Jim Gaffigan making his way to our studio. He was at the Hollywood Bowl last night with yesterday's Hour 3 guest, Jerry Seinfeld, and previous Rich Eisen Show guest, Sebastian Maniscalco. We've not had Nate Bargatze on this program. We got to rectify that problem. We'll work on that, obviously. But right now, we kick off hour number two with an in-studio guest. Been on this program many times before, but finally in studio, in person, a Super Bowl champion getting ready to get started on year 13 in the National Football League, the 58th overall selection of the 2012 draft, playing all his football with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Nebraska's finest, Lavonte David. Right. How you doing, sir? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Like you said, finally get to meet you and be in studio with
you. Feel the same way. And I asked you during the commercial break, so I'd love for you to say into that microphone, I said, what are you doing in Los Angeles? And you said,
I'm going to Tom Brady's roast on Sunday.
Ladies and gentlemen. Going to the Tom Brady roast.
Lavonte David.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a roast?
I've never been to a roast, but I grew up watching a lot of the roasts.
Which roasts did you watch?
I remember? I watched Justin Bieber's roast.
Okay.
I watched Flavor Flav roast before.
Okay. That's a good one.
And then one while back when when Jamie Foxx and all those guys was heckling the other comedian, and that one, I thought that was pretty cool. So
was that a Shaq event?
That might have
I
been.
I think it was the Shaq one.
Yeah.
I think it was.
A Shaq All-Star comedy, something or other. Yeah.
So let me, it's perfect. You're perfect. God asked this. Because this is a question a lot of people are asking in the comedy world, in the roast community, and also the sports world. Will Tom Brady be able to take being roasted, Lavonte David? What do you think?
Personally, I think he will be.
Okay.
I think he will be. I had a conversation with a couple of people talking about it. Like, dang, just like knowing how a roast can get, you know.
Yes.
You got to have some tough, tough skin to be able to be roasted, to be able to sit there and take that.
Yeah,
and I think
because roasts, you've got to, you know, you've got to go after
right.
the guest of honor,
you
know.
You have to for order to make it go great. But I think Tom has tough skin. And knowing Tom, being around him a couple of years, he throws some jazz back at you. So I know.
Okay. So did Tom ever get roasted in the locker room in Tampa?
No, not really. I don't think he really get roasted. It's just like he likes the joke.
Okay.
So I think he'll be prepared for it, I believe.
All right. Because I'm just sitting here wondering, because he shows up as the GOAT.
Yeah.
So nobody went at him, right?
Right.
But you, you're the OG of the locker room,
right,
Lavonte.
Right.
Never once did you say, you know, this is my team, my house, Tom. You know, you got to do this, do that. Now that you're here, that never happened?
No, that never happened. It was a respect thing. You know, and it was kind of like, you know, I threw it out there like, welcome to the locker room, you know, stuff like that. Like trying to throw it out there, but knowing that, hey, you Tom Brady, you here to get me a Super Bowl, so this is your locker room for now that you're here. So,
and then you know he kind of did do it.
Yeah, so you know, definitely welcome.
Sure.
Obama.
How many of your teammates are here? Because I was hearing that there's a ton of former Patriots are coming, right?
Yeah, a ton of former Patriots. We'll be doing some roasting.
Yeah,
right.
And then I've heard a few Bucks guys are going to be in the audience.
Okay, you're one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm not sure. I reached out to Mike and Chris. Those guys probably won't be here.
Okay.
But I'm not sure who else after that. So I'll probably see him whenever I get there.
Lombardi Lenny, is he supposed to be here?
Lombardi Lenny probably will be here. No telling. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Who is the best? Who would be the best roaster in the NFL?
In the NFL?
That you've seen their game on the field.
Uh-huh.
You may have been a teammate, but which NFL player do you think would have the chops to roast somebody based on their game?
Honestly, it would be It'll be Lombardi Lenny. It'll be Lenny Fournette. Yeah, just
he can roast people.
Yeah. Lenny is nonstop. He's nonstop. He's a guy who, if something stand out on you, like, and it is something that, you know, is not really like normal, he'll definitely, you know, let you know, and you were here about it the whole time.
The whole time.
So yeah. So Lenny is definitely a guy who will be a good roaster.
Okay. Yeah. And let's do this for real.
Yeah.
Which teammate that you've had would be the one that could not take being roasted?
Could not take it?
Yeah. Would just have an issue.
Ooh. Roaster, too, just throws out that Gerald McCoy would probably be a great roaster, too.
Oh, by the way, he's my colleague and now on NFL Game Day Morning. You are not wrong.
Yeah.
You are not wrong. Can confirm. Can confirm.
Yeah, he'll be a great roaster, too, as well.
Oh, yes. Can confirm that.
He's nonstop. But somebody who probably won't be able to take it.
Yeah.
I'll probably go with my boy Devin White. Devin White probably won't be able to take a roast.
Couldn't take it.
Nah, he won't be able to take it.
Why? Because he could think he can go at him for the horseback.
He's kind of sensitive a little sometimes.
Well, so. That's one of my favorite lines in the history of the recent roasts.
Yeah.
William Shatner roast. He came in. He was the guest of honor. He came in on horseback.
Yeah.
And one of the best lines of the entire roast that was, I think, put Betty White, if you will, back on the map, was George Takei, who played Sulu from Star Trek from back in the day. And apparently he and Shatner, they were rumored to not really get along. And he's got up there and he said the following: "Bill, I've finally got a chance now to say what I've always wanted to say to you. F you and the horse you rode in on." And it's one of the greatest lines in the history of the roast. So Devin White would not be able to handle that line.
Nah,
is basically
nah. He take his horses. He mess with his horses. He take that personally too. As well.
He takes it personally.
Yeah,
How about Sue? Could Ndamukong Sue be roasted? What about him?
Nobody wouldn't want to roast him. Nobody wouldn't want to roast him.
He sat in this chair. Yeah. I wouldn't want to roast him.
You have to deal with him later. So you don't want to do that.
Levante David here in Los Angeles for the Tom Brady roast, which is going to be live on Netflix, 8 Eastern time. And that can be seen right here on the Roku portal. Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. Year 13. What if I told that kid coming out of Nebraska, chosen 58th overall, 13 years in the NFL?
I wouldn't listen to a word you said, honestly. I wouldn't listen to a word. You know, coming in as a rookie, you don't know. Then you hear all the stories about, you know, how quick guys get out the league and stuff like that. It's only 2.5 years, 3 years and stuff like that. So that was on my mind, you know, coming in as a rookie and not knowing how the transition would be, you know, not knowing how it would fit in the locker room. So I definitely wouldn't believe you would have said I've been going to year 13 right now.
Where were you on draft night?
I was home with my family back in Miami, house full of people, you know, my mom, dad, grandma, cousins, guys from the neighborhood. I remember everything like it was yesterday, honestly. I think that's one of those days that you will never forget as an athlete, getting that call. And always funny that when you get a call from a team that you haven't had no communication with throughout the whole process.
Zero
communication with throughout the whole process.
Really?
And, you know, I didn't even know what the 813 area code was when they called me. I'm like, who is this? And then I answered. And I heard Mark Dominic and Greg Schiano. And, you know, the first thing that really came to my mind was like, I'm back in Florida. Thank you.
Right.
You know, coming from Nebraska. So, but
right. Going from South Florida to Nebraska.
Yeah.
That might be an adjustment. Sure.
Yeah. Definitely was an amazing moment, amazing feeling.
So what was your welcome to the NFL moment? Because you said just moments ago, if you're a rookie, you were a rookie, like you weren't going to be listening to somebody saying you got 13 years potentially.
Right. My welcome to the NFL moment kind of came from training camp, you know, going against, you know, my rookie year, we had a great offensive line. You know, obviously when you see Doug Martin ran for like 1,500 yards his rookie year, so you had guys like
the muscle hamster.
Yeah. Had guys like Davin Joseph, Donald Penn, Carl Nix was the one who really welcomed me. I remember it was a 907, you know, run fit drill. And I remember I knew what was coming and I knew I had to take on the block. So I tried to beat him there. But It was like a clip that showed on the film, and like you see, you looking at it, and like the coach didn't even have nothing to say. They just skipped over it. I'm like, dang, man, that's kind of messed up. You know, he literally like lifted me off my feet and got me out of the hole and created a lane. I'm like, this is what I got to look forward to the rest of, you know, training camp or NFL. So just that right there kind of like welcomed me to knowing like, I mean, I gotta be prepared to take on guys like this all the time.
What about on the field?
On the field, let me see. On the field,
somebody meet you in the hall. Somebody.
On the field, not really necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily on the field. I just remember just like probably getting cracked back. Maybe okay. Welcome to the NFL moment. I remember we was playing the Vikings. My rookie year, it was a Thursday night. You know, Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember I was running him. I was about to, you know, chasing him. And then running the receivers kind of like gave me, you know, a crackback, hit me blind just before it became illegal. But
that's correct.
Yeah.
So nowadays, what you're describing could not be.
Right.
It could not occur without flags.
Right. So it was a really good hit. And it sprung him free, broke for a touchdown. That run right there put him over 100 yards. So we wanted like, you know, we wanted to be the first team to not like get him over because he was on the roll. You know, you kind of.
Yeah,
like,
I remember.
Yeah, so we
he sure
like,
was.
We was kind of like holding the check, but that run, probably like a 60-yard run, put him over the 100-yard mark. Mm. But just remembering, and it's like every time it's a highlight, they showing his highlights, you see that hit in it. So that's something that I got to see every time.
I'm sorry to bring it up then, but that is a welcome to the NFL moment, yeah, no doubt about
sure,
that.
Sure.
Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Brady shows up.
Yes.
What happened that you can recall?
Yeah, yeah.
When
I mean,
Brady
I,
shows up because you're. This is what year?
Yeah.
Trying to do in my head here. Year 9 for you, right? Pretty much when Brady shows up in 2020.
Yes.
It's year 9 for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Year 9.
And you've been through 9 years of kind of wondering what's, where the consistency is going to come from, where the ring might be coming from. You're staring at maybe year 10 around the corner and what's going to happen. And then, well, how'd you find out Brady was coming?
Honestly, the exit meetings, talking to Coach B.A., you know, you have a one-on-one with the head coach, and I just remember him saying, you know, we're going to get somebody in here for you to, you know, get us over the hump. You know, previous year, the previous, we was 7-9 that year. We had a solid defense, and, you know, offensively, we wasn't sure what was going to happen with, you know, James and stuff like that. So I just remember the exit meeting, he was saying, like, you know, if, you know, we don't get James back, we're going to bring in somebody in who's going to get us over the hump and get us to the Super Bowl. And he was like, it might be the GOAT. I'm like, what you mean it might be the GOAT? And he was like, you know, it might be, you know, 12. I'm like, nah, whatever. You know, I ain't read about that, whatever. And then, like, later on in the offseason, you just kept hearing the things coming out. The rumors popping up. And I remember the breaking news was on ESPN. And I just remember I was laying on the couch literally watching, you know, I like watching the Get Up and stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm. Watching it, and then I seen the breaking news, and it was like, I literally like got up. I'm like, what? Tom Brady signs with, you know, plans on green terms with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm like, I didn't believe it. I thought, you know, it's live, and I'm still not really believing it.
Is it April 1st? Like, is that what you're sitting there wondering?
One of those moments, and then I remember I got a call from Jason Light, and he let me know that it was true, and you know, and then he was like, you know, Tom want to have a conversation with you, talk with you, whatever, and that's when I knew it was real, for real, when I actually had a conversation with Tom.
What was that like?
It was cool, man. It was like, it was just like, man, he wanted to talk to me. Like, why he want to talk to me? You know, it's like, you know, this is Tom Brady. Like, I should be wanting to reach out to him. And, you know, he called and he was like, man, I'm glad to finally, you know, be on the team with you. And, you know, getting tired of playing you and this, et cetera, et cetera. And finally get a chance to play with you. And I want you guys to welcome me in the locker room with open arms. And he did mention that, like, this is you guys' locker room, and I'm coming in, and I'm just want to fit right in and just try to, like, win football games with you guys. And then he went to going on and saying, like, you know, don't treat me no different. You know, I know you guys competitors, so just, you know, I'm going to compete with you guys as well. So let's just have fun. Let's win football games. And from that point on, you know, I knew it was on.
And then what was it like Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday.
In your own building.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, there's cardboard cutouts in the stands around some other first responders who were in the stands, because this was in the full height of COVID-19 and all the rules that were being put down.
Right. So. I just remember, you know, the build up from, you know, throughout the whole playoff run, we practicing and we seeing, like, you know, them setting up the Super Bowl stuff at the stadium. It's like, we got to get there. Like, we got to get there. And then when it finally happened, you know, just, you know, at the actual game day, you know, we walking in the stadium and all the lights are very bright. And it was like, we like, dang, like, why is not this for our regular home game and stuff like that? So it was, everything was just different. The grass was better. And you kind of like feeling it. Everything was different. And just walking through the tunnel, you see the lights are brighter. And it's just like, when you walk on the field, it was just an amazing feeling, man. Like, That's the feeling everybody who plays football want to be a part of, you know, just playing on Super Bowl Sunday and actually winning it in your home stadium. And, you know, just, and to piggyback what you said about Tom, it's just, I just remember, like, Tom didn't talk all season. And, you know.
What do you mean he didn't talk all
season? Like, you know, pregame speeches and stuff like that.
He did not.
Nah, not all season. And then he was in the locker room getting ready to come out. You know, what better guy not to have speak with Tom? You know, he came in the middle. And just the stuff that he said just kind of like fired everybody up and it gave us all a ton of confidence. Just like moments like this will never be forgotten if you win this game. You know, you going down in history, your name, your last name will be remembered forever. You win this game, your family will be remembered forever. And like just the battle you went with those guys, like teammates, you have this personal connection, personal bond for the rest of your life. And when you think about it, you know, you build brotherhoods with guys, and that's stuff that you want to be, you know, we want to be a part of with those guys. So, you know, and just think about it, you know, it's one of the reasons why I'm here, you know, supporting Tom, because, you know, I had that brotherhood with him, winning the Super Bowl with him. So stuff like that, you know, that's what you kind of like, you know, live for and you play the game for.
So he didn't speak before the game.
No.
To you or your teammates in a huddle or anything like that.
Right.
Until the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Not even in Green Bay before you went out to Green Bay for the NFC Championship game?
Not that I remember, no.
Okay. I mean, and so he saved it for the Super Bowl?
Saved it for the Super Bowl.
Come on, man.
Yeah, saved it for the Super Bowl.
I mean, I get goosebumps now, like, secondhand.
I mean, of all the guys, though, to also say, listen, I'm going to choose this moment to speak and then be able to have his words carry weight. Honestly, there's only one guy
in
the history of the game. It's Brady. And going into that game, I imagine the sense was go run Mahomes and make him run for his life.
Right.
was the general sense going into that game.
General sense of that game was just don't let him beat us. You know, just try to do as much as we can to, you know, try to make them one-dimensional as much as possible. And, you know, not get beat over the top because earlier that season, you know, they kind of killed us, you know, earlier that season.
Well, yeah, that's the kind of crazy thing, too, Levante, is that was, if I'm not mistaken, the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. I think Hill had, what, like 200 yards in 200 the first quarter or something like that?
Yeah.
And then you didn't lose a game the rest of the year.
Yeah.
That was the last game you lost that year.
It was.
Was that game.
It was. That's because we had the bye week the next week.
Right.
And speaking of that, I was going to bring this up too. I remember walking in the hallway and, you know, running to Tom. He just basically asked me, you know, how we feel, how the morale of everybody, whatever. I'm like, we good with this. And he was like, okay, that's good because we knew I'm not going to lose another game.
He said that.
He said that.
In the bye week.
Yeah.
After losing to the Chiefs.
Yeah. He said that.
And what did you think of after he said that?
Oh, well, that's all I was saying. Like, I believe I'm with you. We're not going to lose another game, Tom.
So and then you didn't.
We didn't. Yeah.
And then, because I remember our pregame show, we were there on NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be straight up with you. Yeah. Michael Irvin was the only one on the panel who picked the Bucs to win it.
Yeah.
And his thought wasn't just, you know, the way that you guys were playing or Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose on your home field at the Super Bowl.
Right.
That you can never allow another team to come on your stadium, on your turf, in this game that you and your team, if you lost it, you would never look at your home field the same way
again. Right. I didn't think of it like that.
Oh, you didn't?
Not like that.
Because that's what he said. And
I just thought about the moment, like, what would it be, the impact it would have on the guys if we did, like, win a Super Bowl in our home stadium.
You went a little more positively.
Yeah, I was more positive.
That's
about
good.
It. Yeah.
Levante David here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the here and now. Mm-hmm. We're big Baker Mayfield people here in this program, and not just because you're sitting here or the year that he had. We've been talking about him for a while. They accuse me of Baker being, I've got two boys, of being one of my
he's your third son.
Well,
third
I mean, there's other son. Ones too.
Yeah,
I mean,
but Baker's the oldest of the other ones.
Brock Purdy is younger.
Yeah.
Kyle Hamilton is younger.
Jalen Hurts
okay,
is younger.
Okay, Jalen Hurts, right. Yeah. Those are my other guys that I cape for from this seat. What was Baker like the minute he walked in the door there?
Yeah, you know, outside looking in, you never know what you was going to get from Baker, you know, if you didn't know him personally. You know,
so you did in your mind come in with a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah, of course. Okay. You know, just from what the media said about him and stuff like that. So you thinking of that stuff. But, you know, when you finally get a chance to meet somebody, you never want to judge a book by its cover, what they've been through or what people say about him. So you actually, like, meet him and get a chance to talk to him. You understand, like, why he's the person he is, and you do kind of like love him, not just because he's my teammate and stuff like that, but when you actually, you know, like, see him, the way he works, the way he acts around the locker room, how everybody kind of like gravitate to him, you know, just that kind of like opened my eyes, you know, just saying like, oh, you know, man, you know, bait one of the guys, man, cool, coming in, you know, wanting everybody to accept him for who he is, man, and just watching him competing on the field, you know, that just what you love to see. And Baker's a genuinely nice guy, man. And, just seeing the way he, you know, take care of the people around him, you know, taking care of the offensive line and receivers and stuff like that, and the work he puts in, you know, kind of like sees wise, you know, he's a competitive guy the way he is.
Well, I mean, you never want to be the guy after the guy.
Yeah.
In any job.
Right, right, right.
Anywhere on planet Earth.
Right, right, right.
Certainly if the guy.
Yeah.
Predecessor is named Tom Brady,
correct,
right?
Correct.
So how did he handle that situation walking into your locker room? Again, this is now like you're entering year dozen for you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's Evans and there's Godwin. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people that are probably looking at him for a sign here. How did he handle all of that?
Yeah, I think he handled it really well. You know, all we asked for him was just to be himself. You know, we know he's a great football player. He could be he was a Pro Bowler this past year. So we know he could be a great football player. And we know he could get us to where we want to be as a football team. So all we did was just tell him to be himself, and no matter what, man, we got your back. And I think that's what kind of like the culture we built in the locker room. You know, I want to say, you know, BA started that, and then when Tom came, you know, he kind of like implemented his thing and stuff like that. So, you know, that's what we just try to keep. You know, just let everybody know, man. Like, just everybody just do their job. Everybody be themselves, and we can win football games. And that's basically what we told Baker. And he got us to the second round in the playoffs.
Yeah, and then a drive at the end of that game in Detroit with a shot to you know tie it and see what was going on.
Right, right, right.
And a heck of a run.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned Jason Light beforehand. Mm-hmm. He re-signed you and a whole bunch of other guys. When you're thinking cap is going to be an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
Evans, you, and Baker, your kicker.
Yeah.
I'm probably missing some people too here.
The long snapper.
Right. I mean, but he's you're kind of getting a rare chance in this salary cap league, certainly when a quarterback is in line to get paid.
Right.
And a future Hall of Fame receiver, which Mike is looking to get paid.
Right.
It's a rarity that you're getting a chance to run it back here. What is your approach to this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy about it. You know, I have a lot of confidence in the team that we have. You know, you get a chance to, you know, learn from what you did last year and try to improve on up to this year. You know, we're in a division that, you know, a lot of people count out, but I think it's a tough division.
Well, the Falcons now have Cousins.
And we expect the Saints to be the Saints, the tough team that they always are.
Right.
And, you know, Carolina, you know, they got Dave Canales, our old OC. He's the head coach over there now.
Right.
So and we know what type of coach he is, the type of, you know, competitive atmosphere he could bring out of guys. So it's definitely going to be a tough division to try to, you know, get a four-peat as far as, you know, winning the division four times. But it definitely should be fun, but I think the main thing was, you know, Jason kind of like understood that, you know, getting the main guys back to keep the locker room intact and try to get another one.
How much longer you want to do this?
I'm taking it year to year, man. You know, I didn't know where I'll be signing back this year. You know, after the division game, and there was a clip out there that got me, you know, talking to Teddy Bridgewater, one of my good friends. We played in high school. He went to the same high school as me back in Miami. You know, telling him like, you know, I'm gonna take some time to really think about, you know, what I want to do, and you know, trying to, you know, see where my body's at, see where my mental's at, and then go from there. And you know, it took a while, and then decided to come back. So I'm thinking I'm trying to go that same approach after this season. But you know, I'm having fun. I'm having fun. I'm winning. You know, going from 8 years of losing, now I'm winning 4 years in a row is kind of like kind of good.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's pretty cool.
Definitely getting fun from that. And like I said, man, just the locker room atmosphere. You know, that's something that, you know, when guys retire, that's something that guys miss, the main thing that they miss. So I'm just trying to get all that in as much as I can. Just build relationship with guys, build bonds with guys to where, you know, you know, when I do hang it up, you know, I have a good rapport, relationship with a lot of guys that I play with.
So to use the Marshawn phrase, you take care of your mentals.
Take care of your mentals.
And your chicken.
And your chicken. Take care of your mental and your chicken. For sure. For sure. That's an underrated thing. But that's,
taking care of the chicken. Yeah. You take care of your chicken.
Right.
I'd never heard of that, the chicken being used as that for money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I was out of it.
Yeah, I heard it a couple of times.
You have heard it? Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Levante, what a pleasure having you here. Yes,
thank you.
Anytime.
Yes.
There should be more Brady roasts in Los Angeles. That means we can get you here.
Sure.
And, you know, look for my calls during the season.
Yeah.
Get you on here on a Zoom, just telling us what's going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That I just as we leave here, do you think your team's overlooked? Because we're talking about the NFC is the San Francisco's conference.
Yeah.
And you got the NFC East, always that gets the focus.
Yeah.
The Lions, we just came from the draft, 750,000 people they're all going crazy
The
Packers, as we all know, one and done to the Dallas Cowboys. And you've got the Vikings, you know, obviously always being discussed. The Bears now have Caleb and Roma Dunze.
Right. Should be a touch.
Are you being overlooked?
We always let people overlook us, and we always be in the middle of things, in the thick of things every time at the end of the year. So I think we're going to be just fine. I think we're going to be just fine, and I think we got the guys to get us where we need to be at the end of the season.
See you at the roast.
Yeah, see you.
All right, Levante David's going to the roast. You can see that. Check out Levante in the crowd. Are you roasting, or you got any lines?
No, I'm not a good roaster.
Okay.
I'm not a good roaster.
All right, so you're a good roast watcher. All right, maybe we'll be sitting next to each other. Yeah, I'll be there for sure on Sunday night. And you can see it right here on Roku through Netflix live. A live roast, first live roast ever, I believe. 8 Eastern time. Check it out right here on Roku through Netflix. Back with What's More Likely and your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Lakers will be all right. I know you guys, I know, especially you. I know y'all waiting for us to fall, and y'all are just
waiting
in it, basking.
Where have you been the last 6 years?
I mean, what have y'all been doing over there in the East without LeBron? Nothing. That's cool.
I mean,
we'll be all right. As long as y'all don't win and we win, I'm good. As long as the Celtics don't win, hey,
you're not doing any winning though.
For a Laker fan.
You're not doing any winning either.
Look, man. All right. We'll stay at the house with me then. Chill out. You know what the best part about Godzilla King of the Monsters?
What is it?
We destroy Boston in the movie. We level it. Just level it. I love it. It's so many references. It's a Laker fan's dream, Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Oh, my gosh. Dodger fans, too, because obviously the Celtics standing
in
the way.
Yeah, and the Rams.
Patriots and Rams.
A Lakers, a golden dragon.
Delusional Laker fan is my favorite Laker fan.
Delusional Laker fan?
Is my favorite.
That's cool. What are you guys called? You Celtics.
Look, O'Shea, I'm here for your Boston hate. I'm here for it.
Oh, okay? Thank you.
Speaking of somebody who's from New York City and a diehard Yankee fan, I would take it in liquid form and inject it into my veins. But you really don't have much of a position right now to carp on a Celtic fan as a Laker fan. You just really are. You don't have
position. Are they winning championships?
No, I know that. But you don't have, like, you're out of position under the boards right now. You're reaching in. You're going over the top. I'm kind of calling the foul right now. And I'm sending you don't have much of a position.
I am a Los Angelino. I'm a Los Angeles Laker. A non-Laker fan will never see me sweat. I will die with the Golden Army. They will bury me at center court. And I will not let a Bostonian get under my skin.
I miss O'Shea Jackson Jr. We got to get him back.
I miss delusional Lakers.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, we're so fortunate to have the real estate to, A, have compelling guests, and, B, have the time to let them tell stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
And from yesterday, Seinfeld telling the story about writing the marine biologist, the sea was angry, my friend, soliloquy at 2 a.m. the night before actually shooting it because they kind of didn't like the ending of the show that they already had. And they had a thunderbolt idea of lightning bolt, thunderstruck idea of let's connect two of the plot lines of the marine biologist.
Right.
Gambit that Costanza was working and Kramer hitting golf balls on the beach, stories like that. And then honestly, next in studio guest we have Levante David. I had no idea Tom Brady had not once addressed his teammates in a pregame huddle. Never once gave any sort of rallying cry speech prior to the games of 2020 until the Super Bowl. I had not heard that before. And I would just love to know. I don't know if the roast on Sunday night, whatever minutes that Brady has available to just chit-chat, because it'll probably be like a wedding for him. He'll be pulled in 50 million different directions. But I'd love, I mean, my God, was that purposeful? Like, I am not going to speak here or until we get to the big game. Like, and he went into the season like, I'm just not going to do it. It's a new locker room. It's a new team. I'm going to let other people handle it. I'm just going to lead by example. I'm going to lead by this, lead by that. Or just the moment didn't strike until the Super Bowl. And then of all moments to have your words have the most weight, obviously the Super Bowl is one of them, but for him to say, all right, now I'm going to speak to y'all, let me tell you how wild that is.
Or how many guys on that team had played in a Super Bowl?
I don't think it was him and
Gronk,
right?
That was it.
I don't recall. I don't think it was many of them. It couldn't have been more than just a handful of more, literally less than five. I don't know. You know, Arians, obviously, he was the offensive coordinator in Super Bowl 40 for the Steelers. I mean, obviously, Arians had been around for a while. But in terms of players, and of all the human beings to basically in essence, tell his teammates, let me tell you about the Super Bowl and the legacies that can be built off it. If I may, have a moment, gents. Wow. What a story.
That was awesome.
Let's go to Kirk in Las Vegas, Nevada, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kirk?
Rich Eisen, good morning. Can you hear me?
I can, Kirk. Where are you? Were you driving around? Driving around the town? Where are you, Kirk?
I'm actually in Salt Lake, Utah at the moment.
Okay, but you're from Las Vegas.
All right.
Or did you start? Were you holding on to start in Las Vegas, and you're now in Utah? Sorry, it took a while to get to you, but it's been
That is exactly what happened.
Love
yes,
it,
sir.
Okay, so what's on your mind?
A couple things. I wanted to, the NFL narrative machine. Wanted to see what you thought about my top five narratives.
Okay.
And then I had an example of Rich Eisen. The Rich Eisen Show Consulting, kind of a cool example. So,
okay.
The top five.
Oh, you've got a top five of what? NFL narratives?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to hit it? Do we have it for Kirk? You got it?
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
Kirk. Okay, we're beaming Kirk up. What do you got?
Here we go. Number five, The Steelers quarterback room, especially with Mr. Fields now being talked about as potentially special teams man.
Okay, yep. That's a good number five. What's number four?
Number four, the NFC North. Are you kidding me? Let's go.
Okay, that's a good one. That's, by the way, great headline. Number three?
Number three, Aaron Rodgers. What can he do for the Jets?
Okay, that's a good one. Certainly, that's high up on my list. Number two?
Number two, Mr. Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
Your Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay, so in Vegas, that's not a very popular opinion, but good enough. Number one on the list is what, Kirk?
Number one narrative, can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat?
That's a good. I mean, that is without a doubt number one. All right, Kirk.
Good job, bro.
No, don't hang up on him yet. Just let's take the. You need the help of RES Consulting, or what did you say?
No, I think RES Consulting has been heard. There is a courtroom in a little town in Nevada with a mural, and on that mural is a street sign. And the name on it is...
No.
Mo Green.
No.
Mo Green.
Oh.
Whoa.
So there is a signpost of some sort to remember Mo Green in a courthouse?
Of all places?
That is a fact, sir.
Kirk, we're gonna need a picture.
All right, Kirk, we need photo evidence of this.
Next time you're off the road.
Next time you're off the road.
Go back.
Thanks for the call, Kirk. Wow.
Thanks, brother.
You bet.
Wow. I know.
That should be Google. Am I asking him to Google something?
I hate you.
Don't hate me. Congratulate me. Wow. Mo Green having a plaque or a signpost. Now, that needs to happen in Las Vegas, which is the town, as you know, that he founded. I don't know. We've got to look that up. We're on in Las Vegas every single day, which we love being on. You know, Raider Nation Radio there. So we gotta have people call in. Let us know about this. Where is this place?
Courthouse?
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, what's more likely Friday, baby? Jim Gaffigan's making his way to our studio, hour number three. That's next and still to come right here on this fun show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford anything, wherever you listen.
My goodness, guys. We started the show an hour and 40 minutes ago, and I sat down here and I told you that the marine biologist story reel that's on our Instagram mm-hmm. from Seinfeld yesterday went up 1 million views in the 2 hours before the show. It's gone up another 500,000 during wow. the program.
Yeah, you can see how many times it's been shared. It's been shared like almost 30,000 times.
I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just a super, superb story told by a master storyteller and one of the greatest comedians ever. And just talking about how he and Larry David came up with the speech the night before and Jason Alexander learned it. And then he told the story of how, you know, in the scene, his eyes are all wide and his eyebrows are raised and he's not acting. He's like literally stunned that like Jason Alexander is nailing it word for word. And I'm like, and then the cherry on top of Kramer asking if it's a Titleist, as if it could have been someone else's golf ball in the blowhole, exonerating him from putting a whale in distress, right? And that Jerry said that he and Larry tried to spend all day like white knuckling, waiting to hear from Titleist to see if they could use the word Titleist because they thought that was the funniest sounding name. Well, Titleist apparently posted on our Twitter. What is that, a Titleist? From the actual Titleist account.
Matt Titleist.
It's just, can't get enough of it. What is that, a Titleist? George is just like, mm-hmm.
And Kramer went higher register when he asked.
Is that a Titleist? Again, it's just trying to say, could have been someone else's golf ball. Oh, my gosh. Love it. And thanks to everybody out there for watching that and sharing it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, are you ready, Chris Brockman? Are you ready for What's More Likely? And it's not just any What's More Likely, Chris. It's What's More Likely presented by T. Rowe Price. Hey. Hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody good?
We're great.
Hey,
you?
I'm great. Okay. Just real quick before we get going, Sarah just texted me from the Roast Writers Room.
Yes?
That Gronk just FaceTimed them shirtless from an island somewhere. So it's going great.
Is this part of What's More Likely? Because I would have said that's very likely.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
That's a fact.
What's 100% likely?
That literally just happened.
Okay. Gronk, thanks for that update from the Brady Roast Writer's Room.
Gronk is shirtless on an island.
And at least, so the internet connection's working well.
Guess
very
so.
Good.
Everybody good?
We're
you
great.
Good?
I've been better. Yeah, I mean, I you know, but tonight it. Is the all promise. Right. Today is the promise.
Well,
of
I'm going to talk to you in a second.
Like Paul Abdul.
All right, let's do a couple football here. What's more likely, guys? Kirk Cousins. See him throwing the ball yesterday? That video cousin? Making the rounds? Like, yeah. Nice one throw. Kirk Cousins is an MVP finalist, or Michael Penix starts 8+ games this year.
Kirk Cousins is an MVP finalist is more likely than Michael Penix Jr. starting 8 or more games this year. The only way Michael Penix Jr. starts 8 or more games this year is if Kirk Cousins is significantly hurt in his comeback season. Get out of here.
So there's a chance.
Vontae David has a 2-pick game.
Tell you guys again.
You're blown out.
He is there. He is there for the future. That's it. Whenever that arrives.
How far in the future?
I don't know the answer to that question, which is the reason why you have to wonder why you drafted him.
Because
the Falcons are like, the general manager, Terry Fontenot, is like 4 to 5 years from now. Like,
That's absurd.
4 to 5 years from now means Michael Penix is closing in on being a 30-year-old without having really started in the NFL. Now, if you've got more trophies in the case, I guess that doesn't matter. It certainly matters to Michael Penix Jr. Weird, wild stuff at the combine. I mean, at the draft. But I will say, what's more likely is that Cousins is healthy, and if he is, he will start more games than is required for Michael Penix Jr.'s. You know, more than what's more likely theory that you have thrown here, and that it's more likely that Cousins is an MVP finalist. What else, Chris?
Let's talk about my quarterback. What's more likely? Drake May plays more games this year, or the fourth pick, Marvin Harrison Jr., has more touchdown catches this year? What's the higher total?
Oh, I'll go. Absolutely. Marvin Harrison Jr. touchdown catches is more. So you're saying what's the higher total?
Yeah.
Drake May games played or started?
Just games played.
I mean, he can get in. He can get a cup of coffee. He can wet his beak a little bit.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Starts, TDs.
Marvin Harrison Jr. touchdown catches, 1,000,000% the likelier higher total than Drake May games appearances played. What else, Chris?
Oh, Patriots losses or Harrison touchdowns?
Now you're talking. Mm. I would go with Patriots losses.
Oh, interesting.
With all due respect to our two guests from yesterday, the guest before Jerry Seinfeld, Gerard Mayo.
He was great.
What else, Chris?
All right, let's talk Bears. Caleb's going to be awesome.
The Bears.
More likely the Bears passing record Caleb Williams will own by the end of next year. Yards in a season, 3,838. Or touchdowns in a season, 29. Eric Kramer did it both in 95.
Oh, my God. So are you saying he's going to have a 4,000-yard season as a rookie or 30 touchdown passes? Brother.
I don't know why you wouldn't think that. This dude's going to be awesome.
Okay. Sounds great. I'll go with the yards.
You don't think he's going to be good next year?
I'm not saying he's not going to be good next year, but like record-breaking good.
The Bears have never had a good quarterback
Record-breaking good. A 4,000-yard rookie passing season.
I mean, you can kind of wake
how
up
much,
and
how many yards did
have
Stroud have this year?
Let me see.
Want to look that one up?
He didn't really get cooking until halfway through the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because rookies take time to get cooking.
4,108.
So he did. But also, Bears are going to run the ball. Maybe more than Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary did last year in Houston.
You're not going to run the ball when you have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze.
Takes touchdown passes away. I'll go with the yards instead of touchdown passes. We're arguing over absolutely nothing. I will say what's more than likely is neither of those. He gets neither of those. That's the likeliest.
You're
gets
doubting
neither.
Caleb Williams.
I'm not. My God. What are you putting words in my mouth?
Look, there's only one quarterback he fully believes in, and his last name sounds like Catharthy. So... McCarthy.
I wouldn't say J.J. McCarthy would have those either. It's tough to do what Stroud did last year. That's a total outlier.
But you do believe in J.J., though.
1,000,000%. Hush yourself.
Williams is going to be awesome. You guys need to buckle up. What's more likely to... Who is more likely to have more yards and TDs this season? Stephon Diggs in Houston... Or his replacement in Buffalo, Keon
Coleman.
Our new favorite player.
What did he say about his golf game? Did you see that one?
Tiger, wish I could.
He's not Tiger Woods. He's Tiger, wish I could.
You don't want to go out there and pull a back muscle.
Can
we just have like a full Hard Knocks of just him? Like just his entire rookie year.
I mean, Keon Coleman. I'll go Keon Coleman because Stephon Diggs is going to have to share the football, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
Tank Dell, thank goodness, is okay. And
man, that was crazy news, by the way.
Nico Collins and Noah Brown still there, right?
I believe so.
Dalton Schultz.
That's a problem.
Joe Mixon's running it. I mean, you're gonna have to spread it around. I'll go the rookie, Keon Coleman. He's one of our... I mean, when are we going to get him?
I don't know. I already love the guy.
All right, let's get on it.
Yeah, we need
post-show meeting. Remind me, because, I got a lot on my brain.
You know who else I want? What? Keon Coleman, Cameron Brink. Let's go.
Cameron Brink.
Okay.
We got to
work on it.
Courtside at the corporate game the other night.
Okay,
DJ,
very good.
Go. Maybe
okay.
If you left your house, you would have met her. All right.
I'd leave my house, guy.
What's more likely to make Rich happier this year? What would make Rich happier? A Knicks NBA Finals appearance or a Jets Super Bowl?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, that's easy.
Get out of here.
Easy.
Why would you even ask that question?
Because it forces you to make a decision. Would you hate doing in this game?
Because it's obvious. Yeah, what do you mean I hate doing it? By the way, I'm the most decisive what's more likely player you'll ever meet. Okay?
You literally just said neither, which was not an option for Caleb Williams.
After giving you a decisive answer.
This is obvious?
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
What is it?
The Jets in the Super Bowl. Are you out of your mind?
I have no idea.
I've seen the Knicks in the NBA
You're the
Finals.
You're the biggest Knicks fan ever now.
I've seen the Knicks. I've seen the Knicks in the NBA Finals in my life.
How'd it go?
How'd it go?
I'm
twice. It on that day, it went better for OJ. I've never seen the Jets in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Are you out of your mind?
Okay. I don't know. What if the Jets are in the Super Bowl with Tyrod Taylor?
I don't think it matters.
Well, at that point in time, I will just hope Rodgers is there rooting him on.
All right.
Yeah, because Chris, he doesn't want to see the owner the Knicks get handed to Larry O'B. It's going to throw him off a little bit.
What else? Through the roof right now. Sorry, this is for TJ. Who is more likely to be on a new team next year?
Okay.
Joel Embiid or Paul George?
Oh, I'll go Paul George. I don't think Embiid's walking out that door. They'll never let him go.
Unless he demands to go.
I know, I get it.
In the NBA, South Beach would be nice.
I know.
You really want him to go to South Beach because you keep bringing. Why South Beach?
I don't like Miami
places?
At all. It feels like that's he would the, like to
Well,
go
you don't
there.
Like him either, so it makes
that's
sense.
That's not true at all.
You're a Celtic fan. You can't like
Why are you doing this to TJ?
Why not?
Well, it's just two guys in the news.
I don't think two guys in the news.
There's a lot of guys in the news.
I'm just following the news.
Okay.
I don't think either one of them is going to be on a different team, but if I had to choose one, it would be Palmdale P.
You got one more?
All right, a couple game sixes tonight. Who's more likely to force game seven?
The Clippers.
Clippers or the Orlando Magic?
I'll go Clippers.
Yeah.
Just because I want to help my guy out over in the corner there, and he thinks that I'm...
They're going to go on the road and win?
Yeah, they did. They did game four. What's the matter?
They've done that.
They didn't have Kawhi in that game either.
Just asking.
No. See, he wants us to lose in game seven.
I want you to go out of your house. To go to a Clipper game.
I want you to go to game seven.
By the way, you guys act like you know,
Ms. Brink.
I'm not a fan like that. I'm just saying. The WNBA stars are in town. Let's go on
okay.
the show.
Oh, okay. Understood.
You know.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Good one. Thank you, sir. Well done. Well done. That was What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price, where confidence comes from a curiosity to uncover opportunities others may miss. T. Rowe Price asks smart questions to better understand risks, develop insights, and give clients an investment edge. Better questions, better outcomes. Learn more at TRoePrice.com/curiosity. Can we get a screen grab of? Did anybody take a screen grab of Gronk
shirtless on
the beach in Bahamas at a wedding in the Bahamas that he's coming in?
Should I ask?
No.
All right.
But there you go. I can't believe that's what led What's More Likely, since that was the likeliest thing, period. Jim Gaffigan in studio, hour number three. Still here.
So, Rich, about me leaving the house, you don't know, man. Lately, I've been getting up at 7:30, 8 in the morning and watching
I thought you meant and coming to work.
Watching eighth graders play flag football. And 10-year-olds play volleyball.
All right, now you need to explain. You can't just leave that.
I have to explain. My godson plays flag football.
Thank you.
Shout out, Barry scored his first touchdown.
Look at Jay Felly Cack snickering over there.
It's
you can't just say into a microphone on a live show. You know what I've been doing in the weekends as I'm getting up to watch T-ball. Okay.
Well, it's funny. Can I share a story?
Certainly, if he drives in the back of the airport to get there.
The funny part about it is, like,
I love that
Bear is Ashton's son. Since you'd like to know these things,
Ashton who?
Ashton Kutcher's son, Bear. Okay. So I go to watch, and I'm sitting with these moms who don't know me, and they're kind of, I realize the optic of someone looking like me just sitting there, and you don't know who, like, why is he here? So they're asking me, like, who are you here with? And I'm like, there. And so Mila goes up to one of the moms and talks to her, and she comes over to me and she goes, do you know that that lady wanted to know if our security wanted a donut today? And I was like, who? She's like, you. And I'm like, I'm not security.
But did you take the donut?
Yes. I did not.
See, I would take the donut out of spite.
Take the donut.
You think I'm security? I'll have two.
See, it's not like we can be
I'll eat you out of all your donuts, lady.
I've got to be security out there, so.
I'm a spectator, an interested observer.
I'm going to wear a suit the next game.
I'm a family friend. Give me a donut.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Talkville.
The Ultimate Smallville Rewatch Podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.